Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to Soul Hunters. This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction. Righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war. Good evening, patriots. And tonight is Wednesday, March 13th in the year 2024. We are literally in a moment in time when the war on children has never been more extreme. The focus is to destroy the little ones to ensure that the movements of transgenderism and the perversion that goes along with the LGBTQAI plus nightmare continues indefinitely. And it's doing so by going after the kids. It's a sick, sick statement of things. And these people that are pushing this are possessed, they're demonic, and they're twisted. They just don't understand what they're about, and they're continuing to claim that this is a right of children to do so, and in so doing, are trying to continue to open the doors to ensure that children are destroyed and never able to recover. The difficulty of it's not even difficulty, the destruction that they're waging on children in terms of puberty blockers and surgeries are not things that can be reversed, and as parents have allowed this to go on, and as a society has allowed this to go on, the destruction is becoming massive. We are going to be left with children that are going to be dysfunctional, unable to have children. They're unable to reproduce, which is God's greatest gift, is the creation, the power of creation. And they will themselves live in misery, dependent on pharmaceutical industry for the rest of their lives, and many of them, if not most of them, committing suicide, because that is the typical outcome of someone in the transgender movement. In the gay community, you're talking about a continuation of their lifestyles, which they see and find only through the grooming of others, and that's how these communities are built. This is a complete perversion of our society and something that it's coming to a head, and we're going to have to become very firm about it if we want to have a hope of having a society that truly has a moral core. That's the problem we have. It's the challenges that it has worked within our culture is that we've found ourselves in conflict with the way that even the word of Jesus is taught, which is to love thy neighbor and to love one another. That may be true, but we also have a line which is very clear that we're told and reminded that in certain lifestyles they are wrong, and they must. And ultimately, what we're dealing with here is a demonic attack on society, which the society has to be freed. And unfortunately, without a strong root of a pulpit in our nation, this perversion is going to get worse, and especially worse when you have pulpits that are waving the flag outside of the church. These are churches that are conquered, and they become enemy territory and strongholds for enemies to use God's temple to be able to spread their illicit ways. Patriots, one thing before we get going tonight, we are dealing with an economic situation right now that's very real. In a situation that's trying to collapse the economy and trying to force us all into a digital world, the digital ID concept. With this, they're looking now very aggressively at getting access to your 401ks and your IRAs as another round of pilfering money, which they do so well. You need to get yours secured and get it secured beyond just fiat currency. Fiat currency is just paper dollars. It has no value, but you can transfer that and get that transferred into precious metals. That's why we have Birch Gold. So you text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. Again, BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. You'll receive a free information packet. Read that, get informed, then get hold of Birch Gold Group. They'll be there to help you. They can walk you through setting up an IRA in precious metals, a tax-deferred IRA. And if you have an existing IRA or 401k, they can help you transfer that at no cost into a precious metals-backed retirement account. Precious metals is a solid asset. It's not something that you consider to be growth medium, though over time it tends to do better than any other tracking in any other sort of of loss of income. It's very steady in its return over time, and it's always there, and it's a tangible asset. So again, text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. And get a free information packet. Give Birch Gold a call today. New York Magazine has a new cover, March 11th, 2024. And the cover is composed of a number of black and white photos. Four down, eight across. So it's 32 photos. All of these people represent transgenders of different ages. The headline reads on the cover of the magazine, "Freedom of Sex, the Moral Case for Letting Trans Kids Change Their Bodies." I'm going to read a few things from this. One often hears today that gender is a social construct. The idea is sometimes credited to the book Gender Trouble, published in 1990 by a handsome young philosopher named Judith Butler. By the way, the article is written by Andrea Long Chu, Pulitzer Prize-winning critic for The New York and The Vulture. Andrew Long Chu self-identifies now as a woman, not a man, and a lesbian woman at that. It's quite interesting. I'm sure there's no bias in this article. Anyway, continuing, what Butler proposed was radical, that the repeated citation of gender norms, things like wearing heels or drinking scotch, produced the illusion of a biological sex just waiting to be infused with meaning. For Butler, gender was a performative, a term they borrowed from the philosophy of language, where it referred to sentences that seem to do things. I promise, for instance, a phrase that literally makes a promise. Gender, too, was a kind of promise. It's a girl. All that because it was not anchored in biological sex, had to be constantly reaffirmed through performative acts, thus allowing a dominant norms to be renegotiated or even subverted. Butler's example was drag performance, which, by exaggerating the normal rules of gender, acted as an allegory for the way everyone performed gender every day. These ideas were tremendously influential in the formation of gender studies. It's all Marxist. But two principal criticisms of Butler soon arose. First was that they had effectively denied the reality of biological sex. After all, there was a big difference between a drag queen and your average woman. No kidding. The second was that Butler had made gender sound like something you could voluntarily opt into. Butler would spend the better part of their career trying to acknowledge the materiality of sex, even as they downplayed its relevance. What Butler could not have anticipated is that some 30 years later, people really would be waking up one morning and choosing a new gender. At least that is the impression one gets from the debate now raging in this country over rights of transgender youth. And so they go on to say, talk about the importance of having children have the right to change their sex and their gender. This is a problem we have in our nation. This article here by John Daniel Davidson, which is titled, this is in The Federalist, titled "Transgender Activists Say Your Kids Have a Right to Carve Up Their Bodies." And he references that same article I just read. The latest cover of New York Magazine is clear. The transgender movement is coming for your kids and not trying to hide it. He goes on to write, "If you pay attention to transgender debate, it's been obvious for a while now that the trans movement is interested in children. The specter of state lawmakers or even parents hindering or discouraging children from transitioning seems to haunt trans activists who view recent political efforts to ban so-called gender-affirming care in some states as the worst sort of tyranny. Children, in their view, have a right to transition, and an obstacle placed in their way, even by parents, is a gross injustice crying out for redress. This is the sickness of the world we now live in. We are literally living in a place where children are being vulturized and groomed by a society willfully." Now, as this is coming out, over in England, there has been a landmark ban. The NHS, which is their National Health Services, has made a ban on giving children puberty blockers, which has now sparked a row between trans campaigners who slam this as cruel, but ex-patients say it was insane. Kids were even given the powerful drugs to begin with. This is in Daily Mail. A landmark ruling to ban children from being given puberty blockers on the NHS sparked a row today. Trans campaigners condemned the cruel decision, arguing it would be irreparably damage the health of trans youth. Meanwhile, campaigners celebrated the move. One ex-patient given the powerful drugs as children said it was insane that kids were even ever allowed to take them. We know the effects of this. And we know what this is all about. This is about grooming kids for the future and to ensure that they are forever damaged in the greater picture of things and can never reproduce. At the core of all of this is to lock people in the dependency of a society. And I played this yesterday. I want you to hear this piece again. This piece is very relevant because this is a young woman that's interviewing a grandmother in her relationship to and her thoughts on puberty blockers. Take a listen.
How old are your granddaughters?
They are 6 and 8.
Would you support them to get hormone blockers to become the other gender?
I would absolutely support them to get hormone blockers. The idea of one of my granddaughters learning that they're going to start having their period if they don't get their hormones blocked, even though they're identifying and portraying as a male, how horrible that would be. So yes, definitely.
If your granddaughter came to you and wanted to get a tattoo, what would you say?
That would be more difficult. I always told my 3 sons, the one thing I ask is please don't get tattoos.
Really? Why tattoos?
There's just something so permanent about it.
Permanent?
It's pretty permanent. It's very difficult to get them lasered off or removed.
You don't think it's like permanent to change your gender?
And she's silent. This is literally the brain damage that we have in our society. Parents are some of the biggest problems of this whole thing. They literally cannot understand that, either don't want to or they are just literally disconnected from reality. The core of all of this is that God is seen as imperfect. God is seen as imperfect. And throughout this, there's a fear of stepping up to this movement to say, this is what you need to do or not do. And even worse, it gets into a deeper place of where the money flows. Now, it's interesting to note that we have now learned that a gay camp in Massachusetts has received $180,000 in government grants for their overnight camp for LGBTQ kids as young as 9 years old. This is taxpayer money now that's being channeled by these fools to be hijacking youth and brainwashing youth early on to convince them that they are imperfect. All of this is at the root of a weak pulpit. And I'm going to keep stressing this on so much of this, is the pulpit is not speaking up powerfully enough and has not for years. And so where we are now is a place where literally we are confronted with a challenge in our country of having to bring people back to whatever normal is. Now, this is somebody from Space Force here that's going to tell you about the most important threats to America.
We have inclusion across all groups in the military. Come back tomorrow morning for the first 10 minutes and then run away. I'm going to focus a little bit more today on my story and that of transgender service members and how and why that fits into the picture of why inclusion matters. Why does it matter to us as a military? Why is it not a negative that some people may believe it to be? And how do we as leaders use it to enhance mission accomplishment? But I want to start here. This was less than 2 years ago, 2 days after a 10-hour surgery that opened me up from here to here and washed out all my insides with chemotherapy after removing several organs. I was terrified. This was, as I said, this was 2 days later, and I was still terrified. Not that I was going to die, which was certainly a consideration before the surgery, but that I'd never put the uniform back on again. All of us come into the service knowing there will be a day we take the uniform off for the final time. We hope that it is on our terms. In many cases, it's not. That is the cost of service. But we want to get to that day where it is our choice whether or not we take this uniform off.
And apparently, if you get your weenie whacked off, that's a good reason to stay in and keep your uniform on. But it's not a good reason to stay in if you say that you aren't going to take a religious exemption and stand up against the vax. I just hope that all the transgenders have taken all their vaxes, and I hope you're all vaxed up, and I hope you took a lot of them, and I hope you got the boosters. This is the world we are currently in. This is a world that has this infection continues to grow at a massive rate and a speed which is inconceivable. And it's really the only way you can identify it is that there are people that are morally weak and that there is a demonic force that is moving this at a rapid rate. There's no question about that, in my opinion. This has become a sickness across the nation, which is unprecedented, quite frankly, and is infected not in every aspect of our leadership as we roll out these aspects of DEI, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion, as the motives for pushing in new leadership models across our nation being taught into West Point and other places. But it's interesting how far it's going and what crowd now is starting to get revolted by it. Gamers. This is now what they call Gamergate is now in play. And what has happened now is that because of the monies that are coming from DEI and other equity-based funds, which are primarily driven by BlackRock, many of the big gaming companies like EA, for example, where they have to leverage massive capital, including monies up to $250, even to $650 million to develop some of their games, the massive overhead, they take what money they can get, whatever is available in loans, and all of this money at their level that's coming in is money that has strings attached. And what are some of those strings? You guessed it. Equity and inclusion and diversity. So with this now, the gamers are finding that these games that they have been counting on and looking forward to are suddenly having their characters transformed. Male characters are being transformed into gender plural characters. Men are becoming women. Women are becoming men, all this sort of things. And they're killing off the game genre, if you will, and gamers are walking away. These companies are starting to go bankrupt. And it will happen that way. They will go bankrupt. This is the model of this new woke culture that they're forcing things up on. And this is such extreme changes that the market itself is not bearing it, and they're walking away. From a short-term point of view, that sounds profound. It sounds good because it means that you're seeing the market mechanisms work, people stepping away. The problem is that behind these loans is a whole bunch more money. And as these companies agree to take this money and abide by the rules of equity and inclusion and diversity, or DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, what they're doing is they're securing their future with future funding, even if the company fails. That's the BlackRock model, because what they're actually doing here is intentionally social engineering a culture, ours, and we're on the docket to be destroyed by virtue of destroying the power of men, turning men to women, women to men, inverting it and turning us into a satanic hub where literally the inversion culture overrules everything. Now, our military has been at the focus of this for a long time. We've seen the breaking down of our leadership. We know that our military is involved in many things, including any dark things, including the moving of children across the border. There's 400,000 children that have been lost. Some of them have been transported on military aircraft. Military contractors have also been involved in moving children, as has been planes and other things. But the corruption, the moral root of corruption, is only continuing. Here's a case in New Jersey where a military recruiter had used his job as a recruiter to lure in and sexually assault teenagers. This, unfortunately, these stories are starting to surface, and it's more and more, and we're looking to the root of corruption in our military as a reflection of our greater society, and it's dark, and the health bill of health is not good. And then we have this. That's what we call a bombshell report. It actually comes out in Blazing Press. American Christian pastors coerced congregants to take COVID jabs through covert faith for vaccines scheme. What this was is this was a scheme put out by the government. Government officials claimed to know God's position on the issue of COVID-19 vaccines, failing to consider other perspectives or engage in open debate. In claiming that their vaccine theology was the correct interpretation, our government leaders implied that any faith leaders with a different view opposed God or had an incorrect understanding of God. Now, how we got to a point where the pulpit began to take instructions from the government and the government became the know-all of faith, I'm still befuddled on this. But this program is what we saw roll out in 2021, where we had pastors literally standing up and encouraging their congregants to take the jab. Many of these churches closed and stayed closed, thank goodness. But those that are still open, we're also seeing this acceptance of the LGBTQAI plus group. This is where the perversion should be stopped, and instead the pulpit's too weak to stand up and do it, and we're seeing this perversion having moved across the nation. That's giving people... To say a bad example of Jesus would be an understatement, literally being led in down the path of slaughter through the wide gate in the one place where we should be strong. Our nation was built on the pulpit. Our nation was built through the pulpit. Our nation was built with fiery and brimstone pastors that spoke about things like tyranny and spoke about things like faith and spoke about things like sin and spoke about things like marriage and the covenant of marriage and the importance of enduring hardship and always being submissive to God, those sorts of things. When we start to get into the modern day culture and we find the faith message being watered down to such a degree where pastors are more worried about supporting Israel and the slaughter of Palestinian children than they are about getting a solid message on the pulpit about where we need to be walking and in resistance to one of the greatest invasions and insurgencies we've ever faced, which is that coming through the perversion of sexuality, we have a real problem. We have a problem in pulpits that don't want to speak truth to power. They don't want to speak about politics and how it's perverted. They don't want to stand up against the perversion of a pedophile elite that is now controlling this nation. They don't want to stand up openly from the pulpit and speak out boldly about not just abortion, but the whole aspects of the corruption of the marriage bed. These are things that when we get here in this day and age, there is too much weakness in the pulpit, and we need to get back to a strong pulpit. And it's that backbone of America that we were built on that has become diluted over time, so much of it rooted in financial corruption and other things. And as we follow the money train up and we start to see where the money is coming down to, we also find how much money's been out there to ensure benefits to churches as well through taxpayer money to comply with a message that has not been about standing for God, but about standing in compliance to government. That's not a strong pulpit. That's a purchased pulpit, and it's no longer speaking the word of God, in my opinion. And I stand strongly on that, though that may be controversial for some. Too bad. Now, all of this is, where, as we look at this picture here of the United States, it gets pretty heavy. We have a dark image of our nation, and we have to start getting to the root of literally what has happened. Let me play this piece here. This is by Yuri Brezhnev. He was a former KGB defector that came over and was describing to us some of the things that they were working on in seeding this invasion in the minds of the American society. What it's referred to, more importantly, is how we create mind viruses and get them planted in the people's mind and then amplified.
What do you mean by it? Ideological subversion is the slow process, which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology. is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's overfulfilled because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it until he is going to receive a kick in his fat bottom. When a military boot crashes his balls, then he will understand, but not before that. That's the tragic of the situation of demoralization.
This man spoke truth long ago, 1984, in fact, and nobody listened, at least not enough. And he lays out the entire plan. You can find his stuff still on YouTube. It's pretty amazing. And it does lay out the entire plan of what was done to subjugate Americans through what they refer to as mind viruses. Mind viruses is actually a real study. It's where the word memetics comes from, or what we would commonly know as memes. Memes are the process now used to visually transmit information in, and memes have been used in an attempt to try to dislodge some of this programming by creating visual images that bypass the frontal cortex and get into the subconscious, where the subconscious then will work with the meme to dissect it and shape it and then unsettle some of the deep programming that's settled in. As I've talked about here many times, the conscious mind works at roughly about 1,000 processes per second. The subconscious mind works somewhere at the level of about 100,000 processes per second. This conscious mind is going to be looking at things and processing quickly and then coming to a decision. The subconscious mind will take that decision in a framework of greater truth so that as we move forward, then we can start to keep the ship righted, if you will, to keep the keel deep in the water. We understand pretty clearly that over the past few years with the COVID con, there has been a massive cognitive snap. And so it's what has happened here is that people were overloaded in their conscious mind and put into such a state of hyper fear that the body itself was starting to fall apart. The body has a reaction to that using the mind that it will shift or break from the reality in which you know into an alternate reality, a subaltern, and accept an alternate reality in order to keep the fear minimized and keep the body system stable. This was a major effect of COVID-con. And it caused a cognitive break across a large section of society. So it should come as no surprise that in parallel to COVID-con, we see the increase in programming and insistence on a gender shift, a gender plurality culture. Because it's there that as people have found a snap and the subconscious is trying to anchor itself into another reality, there is then this new challenge that comes in right away, which comes from queer theory in schools, which ties in right along with this. The children that have gone through the same process now are now being told that their gender is in plural. Their gender is no longer that of what they were told. Combine that with a cultural message, which includes that of churches, which is you are unworthy. That takes on two forms. There is the church message, which states you are unworthy. And there is the cultural message, which is more powerful, which states that you are not only unworthy, but you are the parasitic problem of the earth. With all of this comes the dependence, the weight of guilt and doubt in who we are. With that is equally shame. Shame rests on people for being human, and it becomes an agent by which to use to now conquer the free will. Shame becomes a heavy burden, especially with the ideology and the religion of environmentalism, where people are now should be shameful for even being human and having any sort of carbon footprint. Remember, they want us down to carbon footprint zero. As a human being, the only way you can do that is to be killed or die. That's it. So this whole process of breaking down the cognitive structure of our minds to where people then become embedded with shame, they begin to doubt who they are. And in doubting, they also are able to be susceptible to the words of who is greater. And they start to believe that God is lesser than Satan. Shame takes us away from God as we're able to point to the fact that you're shamefully, you've been created imperfectly, which is the strong message of the queer movement. And in so doing, that's reinforced by the church message of you are built, born into sin. This is a difficult one. It's a difficult one for people to accept because they will go to the place of saying, well, but we are born in sin. Well, that's fine, except Satan's using this very effectively now, because as you are born imperfect, and that ties in with being born into sin, the greater message is your God is imperfect and your God is unjust. Therefore, allow me to show you a better way. This is the greater message of this queer theory monster. And in convincing people that they are lesser, that they should be shamed, they are shamed into believing that they are imperfect, they're willing to accept something greater. And even greater to this is then the subject of fear, because fear then works within them, where fear becomes a place where they are seated. It's seated within them that there is nothing here to save them other than themselves and the choices which they make. And that's where the handlers step in beautifully, the handlers being the teachers and those around them that are inoculating them with this devilish thinking. And children then are making choices to choose to have another gender. It's their process as well to write the subconsciousness of their minds so that the body system stabilizes. They release themselves, at least in the short term, from doubt, shame, and fear to accept a new process, a new way, by identifying as something other than what you were born as. The perfect creation which God allows is then hijacked, and the child is told that all that imperfection that they're told to believe is now made perfect within the surgery of a transgender flip. This is a very sophisticated, very well thought out, and very well planned attack on our society and our children. All it takes is a very simple thing. And this is where they have used scripture as a weapon against people, and the church's inability to separate that message from what is being taught is causing children to literally be slayed by this. And the weakness of the pulpit only compounds it. We are in a very, very critical point here of trying to grasp hold of a culture, and it's very important to understand that they are teaching children to not trust in God or believe in God, because God somehow has created an imperfect being. This is the whole foundation, and this is where Satan's hand is extended to say, follow me. And with this, they're led into a society which is insanely devilish. It's a living hell. Part of this new system, which is built around artificial intelligence, is a system that collects everything. And it doesn't leave anything unturned. No stone is unturned in this new system. Every single thing is collected, collated, stacked, and it becomes part of your new digital ID. I played this morning. I want to play this again. This is a piece from Harari that is important to hear. Take a listen.
Part of what is happening today in so many areas is that you can think about the whole of life becoming like one long job interview. Like if you now apply to a job, something you did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it suddenly pops up there and defines who you are today.
Yeah.
You told a racist joke 10 years ago. You yelled at somebody 15 years ago. It pops up. Hey, that's who you are. We know who you are. You're not going to get this job. And no, I mean, the more data we accumulate on people, the more powerful all these AI tools are, the more important it is to bake into the system the value of change, mm-hmm. that people can change. Otherwise, again, like you are 20 years old, you go to some party, you have to think, this can meet me down the road in 20 years when I want to be, I don't know, Supreme Court Justice.
And see, here is what has happened, is that we are told and we know that we are accountable for every word spoken, every breath made, everything that we do in this world. This new system is promising the same things. The parallels are quite interesting, except this. There is no forgiveness in this new system. So whatever you do, you will be held accountable for eternity in this new system of AI. where in the kingdom of God, as we accept Christ, we are forgiven for our sins. We're still held accountable, but that gets to the silver and the dross. The dross will be burned away. Only silver will remain. This new system is shaping it from the children's level. And as they come to accept that this world provides them with the solutions to the instability which they feel inside, which roots itself in a poor pulpit, a weak faith, and a culture that inoculates them with confusion, they then seek salvation through surgeries, through gender shifts, through a system that says you can have everything as long as you comply. And as they then become willful slaves in a system that will keep them enslaved eternally. This is the world that we are watching evolve around us. And the question is, where is that change going to happen and how is it going to happen? That can only come from powerful voices and people that truly understand the nature of what we're speaking about. And that means all of us in the end of the day. There has to be an echo of people speaking to the gospel of Jesus into people's lives to set them free and just understand the true sense of liberty. God is not of this. God is not like this. God is a God of free will. God is a God that is loving, and he's also a God that has strong lines of judgment. Those two things go together. There are rules and there are ways through. There are just not anything goes. Thou shalt do what thou will, which is the satanic motto without any sort of accountability. We have a God of accountability. We have a God of purpose. These sorts of things start to define this principle of true liberty. God doesn't provide 50,000 rules for which we have to abide by. God says, choose me and live into me, and then we get a choice to use our free will in this world. As we gain a greater respect for love thy neighbor and liberty that go together, we start to understand how to coexist. In this world of the woke culture, everything has a rule. You can look this way, speak this way, limit this way. Anything you do is limited and defined because they can't live without rules. Rules, without rules, they don't know what to do. Now, with all that said, they have now, what happened today has lit up the internet, which is no surprise. And part of this, what has lit up the internet, is this ban on TikTok. Now, this is not a ban on TikTok, let's be clear. This is literally a move to get greater control over language and censorship, because they are increasingly afraid in this country, which is the hub of most of the world's evil. They are afraid that we are going to wake up and take down this government. Let me read an analysis by Sean Davis. He goes by Sean MDVA on X, and it reads this. He says, this TikTok bill language is so broad and poorly drafted that it will absolutely be used to shut down media that U.S. government doesn't like, just like the Patriot Act was used to spy on innocent Americans who hadn't done anything wrong. Remember how the entire U.S. intelligence community moved to have the New York Post banned for reporting on Hunter Biden's laptop under the guise that it was an all-Russian disinformation. The U.S. intel community knew the laptop was legit and authentic, and they lied about it anyway and used their lies as a pretext to ban media outlets they didn't like. Remember how the same corrupt intel community similarly fabricated and spread the Russian collusion hoax, and how its minions accused anyone who accurately reported on the hoax of being Russian stooges. The language of this TikTok bill would give those same crooks and liars the authority to shut down and criminally prosecute and penalize media outlets by merely accusing them of being subject to the direction of an adversary. What does that even mean? How do you think a government which accuses anyone who criticizes its corruption of garbage foreign policy of being a traitor will use that language? Having lived through the Iraq WMD hoax and the Russiagate hoax and the COVID natural origins hoax and J6 and the myriad Ukraine hoaxes, do you think your government will judiciously use the language as narrowly as possible, or do you think it will use that language to persecute its domestic political opponents? We know the answer to that. At this very moment, the Federalist Daily Wire and Ken Paxton of Texas are having to sue the U.S. Department State Department for illegally using its authority to combat foreign propaganda against its domestic political opponents. Our own government is already abusing laws and programs that exist only to target foreign media, to instead target American media outlets for critically reporting on misdeeds by the U.S. government. This isn't a theoretical or academic discussion. For decades, our government has given itself massive new police power and ostensibly targeted at foreign enemies, only to immediately weaponize those new powers against the American people. What on earth makes you think these same people will magically stop abusing the new powers they keep giving themselves? And the answer is they won't. So we're in a very critical time again as they try to wage war and tighten the noose. And all of this is happening around this bread and circuses of election, as people are drawn away to look at Trump rallies and people are drawn to look at Israel or drawn to look at Ukraine. Domestically, they're tightening the noose to try to prevent any communication from happening and to be able to prosecute people, especially as we head into the election year. This is very serious, and it's an issue that needs to have a lot of voice given to it, as the U.S. is quickly and decisively falling into the abyss of being a tyranny. In an article published today by in Zero Hedge, and it was listed, the state of our union, no one's talking about tyranny is rising as freedom falls. Here's some things to note. Americans have little protection against police abuse. Americans are little more than pocketbooks to fund the police state. Americans are no longer innocent until proven guilty. Americans no longer have a right to self-defense. Americans no longer have a right to property, private property. Americans no longer have a say about what their children are exposed to in school. Americans are powerless in the face of militarized police forces. Americans no longer have a right to bodily integrity. Americans no longer have a right to expectation of privacy. Americans no longer have a representative government. Americans can no longer rely on the courts to mete out justice, which we know is very true. In the end, as a quote from Aldous Huxley predicted, that eventually the government would find a way of making people love their servitude and producing dictatorship without tears, so to speak, producing a kind of painless concentration camp of entire societies so that people will in fact have their liberties taken away from them, but will rather enjoy it because they will be distracted from any desire to rebel by propaganda or brainwashing enhanced by pharmacological methods. And this seems to be the final revolution. The answer? Get unbrainwashed. And it's that simple. But what they're talking about is very real. And it's very, very real because what we're talking about is this vax and what its capability are. Here's a piece with Todd Callender, Maria Z, and another to them, their assessment now that what we are facing currently is that this vax that's been put into people is far more advanced than we think, and in fact is already allowing them to influence their behavior, not just collect data. Take a listen to this.
Communicating on EMF frequencies. And in fact, they're amplifying it. A gigahertz worth of input creates a terahertz of output. We found that in the military trial with C459-1001, where 44,000 service members were being tested on the COVID shots. It was the Pfizer protocol, a phase 3 trial. In that trial, they used something called the InTouch eDiary. It's an ePCR device, and it was reading real time what was happening inside the vax people's body and reporting it to a company in Israel, who then laundered the data and gave it back to the FDA and the DOD. The point is that this device, this ePCR, which was on their cell phones, it's an app, was communicating with these things inside of the vax people's bodies circa 2020, late 2019. So it's real-time data. It's just what Noah Harari says. We need to have intelligence on what's happening inside people's bodies. It's already there. They already have that. The hardware has been installed if people got the shots.
Yeah.
And Maria, I just want to, something that you said there, Todd, it's suggesting that it's pre-programmed. I'm talking about, yes, perhaps there's pre-programming. Of course there would be. But I'm also talking about programming.
Continuing.
continuous programming. Yes. So being able to tweak that.
Well, I'm saying that they're receiving instructions in real time. Forget about the pre-programming. It's irrelevant. It's that these things are interacting vis-a-vis electromagnetic radiation through signals. Mm-hmm. And seemingly, it's the 5G and 6G range, so gigahertz into terahertz.
So by all indications, those that took the vax have a couple of problems going for them, and it also creates a nature of problems in our society. And there's something we can actually draw from this that may actually have some substance. It's this. Those that took the vax are now are being linked into the system, and that is this transhumanist model, these nanocircuits that are in them, these nanobots and nanomachines that are assembling by virtue of the graphene oxide and this hydrogel has been moving through the body and establishing an ability for the body to now communicate and be communicated to. That creates an enormous amount of issues because it also means that people have now been genetically modified. Genetically modified beings, which has been held up in court in the Supreme Court, even with Scalia on the bench at the time, which takes us back to 1999 and 2000, have established that they are no longer of their own. It means they are owned by whoever developed the GMO. Todd Callender is saying the same thing, is that the people that have taken the vax no longer have free will. They are now property of corporations. Now, why this becomes critical is we start to look at some of these laws rolling out, and by the virtue of where we stand, these laws are tyrannical. However, if you don't have rights, then these laws are simply the hand of the corporation who controls you, dictating what your new behavior will be. It's a very different perspective, but it's one that has some legal precedent. It's something to be aware of. What we're fighting against is the matrix in a large scale. Those people that have taken the vax, depending on how many they have, potentially can or will be controlled. And that was part of the plan all along that people submitted to and gave their free will to, which is to allow them to take over and write over their own immune systems. And even on the Pfizer website, it stated very clearly, we are going to build a better immune system to where we can update that immune system for new viruses. Not enough people were putting it together that meant that they had control of your body, which they do. And in so doing, we're watching this begin to unfold and asking the greater question of what's going to happen to these people and where does this leave society? The indications are pretty grim, in fact. When we start to look at the outcome of the vax in South Korea, it is now looking now as if the vax has been so successful and so devastating in terms of reproduction that the projections are now that most of what we know as South Korea will cease to exist in less than 100 years. There is no reproductive capability left, or very little. This is being established farther and farther out, and we have to ask the question where this leads. And of course, we know this is the model of transhumanism, to where the state now takes control of your child and control of your reproduction system, to where the only place you can get children, unless you're of the elite, is to go to a birthing clinic where they will genetically create a child in a lab and then artificial wombs and then give it to you, where it's a state-controlled, state genetically modified being. Unfortunately, as wild as that sounds, the mentality for this is already here. And it's a crazy mentality. I want you to listen to this mother of a real child and hear what she has to say in her relationship to the state.
I've said it before and I will say it again. The government is my baby daddy. The minute that they took my right away to decide if I wanted this little crotch goblin or not was the minute that they took over the role of my baby daddy. That's the minute they took on the role of paying for my formula, of providing food in my house, and for that tax refund. Mm-hmm. Because the government is our baby daddy. We love baby daddy Uncle Sam.
Wonderful. This is the welfare culture. And unfortunately, this whole thing is disgusting in so many ways because it is literally missing the point of having a child in the first place and taking responsibility to have children. But unfortunately, this is where we are. Now, Patriots, before we close tonight, I want to highlight a couple of things. Tomorrow night, we're going to have a very special show. Pastor Rod Parker is going to be on, and we're going to be opening up tickets. It's to reserve your spot or to get registered better. There's no spots. Get registered for the events coming up on April 8th. There's going to be an event in Texas and an event in Ohio. two events. They're open for everybody. We want as many people to come as possible. It's a donation-driven event. You can get your, you can register online at Bard's Fest. That will be live tomorrow evening. We're going to be talking about that and really lifting this up. Proceeds will go to cover the cost of the events, and anything in excess will be given to support the continued purchase funding of Mandolin Farms and Flemingsburg, which will be the new Bard's Nation Center. So these events are significant. They're going to be an incredible opportunity to literally be in the darkness and experience true and total darkness, and then from there into the light. It's going to be a revival. We've got some great lineup of speakers on both locations, different events, but great speakers, and I think you'll be really impressed with what we have. You can see currently, if you go to bardsfest.com, you can at least see the flyers there and see the information about the events. They're there. And then tomorrow night, we'll open up registration, and so you can get your ticketing, and we'll be on top of that in case there's any sort of bumps in the road. We've done this enough times before. We should have it down by now, but there's always some sort of glitch because somebody's made an update in a program or something. That's just the way it goes. But hey, what can I say? I played this one piece this morning. I think it's worth playing again. And it's a piece here that reminds us what true statesmanship is like. And it's a powerful piece. This comes from South Carolina Representative Adam Morgan as he speaks out about supporting his constituents versus his opponent there, or one of his challenges, his colleagues, I should say, who has rubbed his nose into the backside of the special interests and the elites. Take a listen to this, because this is a reminder of what a republic is supposed to be like. Here we go.
The pressure in here in Columbia is for me to not even vote red on the board. Y'all might not know this. A dark money entity that was created on Tuesday, the day after we voted for this, I went home and an attack piece went out in my whole district about the fact that I voted for this. I get that the people in Columbia, that the lobby wants me to either not vote or to vote green on this, but my constituents want me to vote red, and they want their tax money spent on core government functions, on their roads, on their schools. That's what they want their money spent on. So, they don't want us in here trying to play this government planning thing where we and our bureaus can figure out where the jobs should be, who should be employed, how much money should be allocated where in the private sector. It never works. It's socialism. It's never worked anywhere before. So what are we doing to trying to do it here?
But wait, would you consider the fact that South Carolina's track record on bringing major projects into this state has a winning record, and therefore, again, commerce should be listened to rather than those people back in your district that may ever brokered a deal, may not understand what it means of being a project, may not understand economic incentives. So what you're suggesting is we should listen to the people back home in your district rather than the people at Commerce that have been successful at bringing these mega deals to South Carolina.
Mr. Rutherford, I don't think that you could have espoused a philosophy that disagrees more fundamentally than me. I completely disagree with you, and I think that you believe what you just said. I 100% am going to listen to the people back home who I represent in this House, and you should listen to the 40,000 people in your area and not the bureaucrats at Commerce, and not the lobbyists, and not the multi-billion dollar international corporations. You should listen to your constituents like I am. So yes, I will always fall back on the common sense of the wonderful people from Taylor's and Greenville Eastside far more than I will ever listen to unelected bureaucrats, other representatives in here who have been here for far too long and have maybe managed a whole lot of these deals, and far more than I will ever listen to any member out there.
This is an excellent demonstration of what a true representative is and should be. This man needs an award. Representative Adam Morgan. He literally lays it out as it's intended to be and as our country was designed to be. The representatives represented the will of the people, not the will of corporations, not the will of special interests, not the will of lobbyists, not the will of mega corporations. And he has stones, and he has strength and spine, and he's a man that needs to be encouraged to run again. That's what I would tell you. All right, Patriots, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this time we've come together. And we just pray this evening for hearts of strength. warrior hearts of strength to be able to stand this time and to stand up to that which is truly wrong. We know that going after children to encourage them to change their gender, to try to manipulate their minds, to try to cause them harm, is everything wrong about that. It's wrong by the words of Jesus. It's wrong by the very virtue of what our role is here as stewards and protectors of the innocent. So, Father, we're just praying into the strength of the hearts of the people. We pray into the strength of the hearts to stand up, to speak out, to be bold, and to not let these crimes go unaddressed, which is huge. And we're inspired even tonight by the words of Representative Adam Morgan, who quite literally has spoken words of what the true sense of a republic is, to express the wills of the people, to be vocal, to be strong, and to face evil head on with true words. Father, I also want to pray for those in Bard's Family Nation that are dealing with some sickness right now. We just lift them up in prayer. We ask that you'll give them healing, and we ask Holy Spirit will surround them and just bless them with all that they need. We also pray for this upcoming event, Father, on April 8th, and we just pray that it will be truly of your will, that all that will transpire there will be that of people coming to Christ, people being lifted up in the Holy Spirit, and people truly finding that anchor and a foot in something greater than them, the rock of faith. And so we declare these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Patriots, have a great evening. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow morning for Bended Knee. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
Oh, I wanna feel something. I just wanna breathe.